Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Don't Kill the Messenger with your host, Victor from Ventobot. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit more about legal documents and personal documents and getting them updated and why we need that, really focusing on what happens after for succession planning. So let's say we end up exiting the company, or for some reason or another, knock on wood, that something happens to us and the business, it's a family business, if we need something to happen after that so it just doesn't die off. So I have a special guest today who's really going to dive into that a lot for us, and it's going to really open your eyes to a lot of the things that's possible there. Now, before we begin, if you're serious about generating never-ending leads online, then head on over to ventobots.com/book to get your free copy of the complete automation strategy, the four phases we use to generate never-ending leads online. Now, we do this with our private clients to help them scale from 6 to 7 figures. Once you get past the hustle and grind of messaging, content creation, all that, there's a different way that you need to adjust so that you can focus on growing the business. Now, we're going to be diving into how to exit and a couple of things that are needed for that today. So welcome my special guest, Stacy Golden Linslock. How are you doing, Stacy?
Good. How are you?
Great. So I'm glad to have you on the show. Can you tell us a little bit more about succession planning and really what it is?
Great. Yeah. So I've been in the financial services business for a lot of years. And what I found is that people tend to just ignore the fact that their business is a living, breathing thing. And yeah. Should they stop living and breathing, you know, due to an illness, accident, or death, that their business can die right along with them. And it's happened to a very close friend of mine. I ended up taking over her business, but that can't always happen. Yeah. Really, my business is called Got It Together, and what we do is we work with individuals and business owners to make sure that they have all of their stuff in order so that when something does happen, that a trusted person who they've already picked in advance can pick up the pieces and not have to be pulling their hair out in the process. So when you talk about succession planning, you know, there's people seem to think like, it's on the back burner. It's not that important. It's not day to day and all that. But you know what? If something happens, should you get in a car accident? Should your health fail? Should you just drop dead? Because it happens. It not only affects your business, the fact that your business can die with you, but what about all your clients that are depending on you? What about work in process that you probably have going on? Nobody else can come in and pick it up and know what to do. And then You have your employees. If you're an employee-based type of company, all those families are then, they're left holding the bag. They don't really know, you know, what's in store for them now. So everything just hinges on you when you're this pretty much the only one that knows what's going on in the business. So when you do talk about like succession planning, people like to think that, well, you know, my family will take over the business, or my employees will take over the business, or we'll just put it up for sale. And those are really the three things that could happen. But what I'm finding out and what I'm being told, because, you know, I outsource the succession planning part of it. It's very specialized. You know, you actually have a whole team of people working with you. So what I'm finding out is that in the next 20 years, there is going to be 150,000 businesses a year turning over ownership. So not all of those are going to get sold or families taken over or employees. A lot of them are just going to go away, which is pretty sad.
Wow. What was that statistic again?
Well, see, the baby boomers created a lot of businesses. Yeah. So there you go. So they say over the next 20 years, 150,000 businesses a year. And Of that, only about 9,000 of them will get sold off through like mergers and acquisitions or private equity firms, you know, or brokers selling them straight out. So that's like 9,000. Then they said like another 9,000 will go to family. The employees. The family. The employees will pick up the difference and then the rest will fall off. So a large majority of them go to the employees. That's really the number one way people are doing it. And it makes sense because the employees know what's going on. There's a culture, there's sort of a vibe, and usually you can structure it so that it can be carried on after you. If you don't have too big of an ego to let that happen, right? So you got to realize oh my gosh, I have one story I want to tell you. One of my clients, he's in his 80s now, and he has his accountant who's CPA. had this accountant for over 40 years, totally depend on him, right? They don't know anything. They don't know anything about their taxes. You handle it.
Yeah.
Well, he had cancer, but he was so like in denial about the cancer that he just kept going on like he didn't have the cancer. And then he up and dies in the middle of tax season. And then nobody was there to take over the business. He hadn't been grooming anybody. And so the son-in-law then has to call all the customers, the clients, and say, hey, come pick up your file. My father-in-law passed away. It was just such a travesty because it put those customers at really a bad position. It was a very, big practice over 40 years of growing it. And it was worth a lot of money if it had been kept intact, so just saying there's,
oh man, that's devastating. Not one for just the family, but like the fact that from a business perspective, if I'm relying at that time of year on my accountant or tax person to really do that, all of a sudden I have to try to find another one in the middle of it. That just leaves such a bad taste in your mouth, like
absolutely
of all those years of client building, all of a sudden lost
because
of not planning the right way. That's crazy.
Yeah. It almost feels like, they let you down really in a big way.
Yeah.
They didn't protect your interests. And that's what you thought they were doing the whole time. And, you're never going to ask. I asked this particular one, though. I actually did ask him. I said, hey, his name was Hal. I said, hey, Hal, do you have somebody in the wings that's working with you that's going to be taking over when you're no longer doing this? I didn't even know he was sick because I think this was before he was sick. He got angry with me. Like, how dare you ask such a question? It's like, okay. So
that's interesting. I feel like, and that perspective or that view, I feel is very relatable to the marketing side of things. Like I view it kind of like gardening. You have to like sow your seeds and like make sure you have the right foundation so that as you start to market and increase it and scale, it really just helps to flourish. But if you don't do like any type of succession planning or exit planning or think about it because you're like, oh, I'll think about it when I need to. Well, when you need to is probably too late, it sounds like. In this case, like you can't because you're gone. So
I know. But even in his case, he knew he was sick. He was on chemo. His wife had died like a year or two earlier and she and him were the business. And so I just think people get in denial. I mean, neither one of us have ever been there, so we don't really know what to be in those shoes is like.
Yeah.
But if you really want to be realistic, that nobody gets out of this thing alive, And so we need to really make plans, to have somebody else take it over. Otherwise it's just gonna die out. But when you're really looking at it and people talk about, oh, I'm going to get all this money for my business, apparently there's a huge differential between what you think your business is worth and what your business is really going to be worth, right? That's always been the case, right? I don't know if you've ever saw those cartoons about what the IRS thinks your house looks like, what you think your house looks like. It's a very funny cartoon. But anyway, it's all the perception of, the person. But apparently the post-tax net proceeds of a sale of a business is a very much smaller number than what a person thinks that they're actually going to have from their business. And it's sad because a lot of people don't do any kind of retirement planning. They think their business is going to be their retirement plan and selling their business will be their retirement plan. And so I've just run into a lot of business owners who they've owned their business for 20, 30 years, never even did a SEP or an IRA or a 401k or a KEO, nothing. Just never did it. And I find that to be really, really kind of, why isn't your tax person like advising you differently? And so really what you really have to do is make sure you have the right people watching out for you and your business, advising you. And then more importantly, that you're paying attention to the advice and not just dismissing it as something where, that's going to cost me money. Because guess what? It's going to cost you way more money in the long run if you don't take care of business.
That's crazy. So I was literally just talking about on another episode with this. And we were talking about profit first and like things of that nature and focusing on the things like the finances, right? The things that business owners don't really want to think about or talk about or anything like that, because it's hard. And a lot of us don't get into business to understand that and to focus on it. But that's why we invest in people to guide us and speed that process up for us. And this is a very similar kind of scenario, right? Like it's not that we got in business for it, but it is needed, and it's not an expense, and it's an investment to secure and grow our business that much more. Because if we have that, it sounds like if we have that exit plan, whether we get some kind of, and I don't know how true this is, because this is something that I would want your opinion on, but like I would think you could actually exit in a way that allows you to keep getting revenue from that business when you no longer are a part of it.
Right. Well, that's one of the ways you could sell it to the employees, or, you know, selling it to the employees, it seems to be the most often way that it is, you know, bought, but they don't necessarily have the money to buy it. And so sometimes it is sold that way. But, you know, when you were saying that, just kind of reminds me of like, okay, you buy a car and you drive a car, but you're not a mechanic, yet you need the mechanic to look after your car and make sure that it's going to run properly. So you have to spend the money and get the analysis and get the, all the tests done and keep it running tip top in order for it to serve you well. So there's actually four areas that in order to have your business ready to be sold has to really be attended to and be beefed up, because otherwise no one's going to be interested in buying it, because these are the things that people look at when they're going to buy a business. So the first thing, of course, is the finance of it, the finance of it, the planning, the revenue and profit numbers, and then the operations. And each one of those have large details under it, but just to kind of give you the fact that there's lots of different people that get involved with you as a business owner to get your business ready to be sellable or to be transferable. So I have this list here, and it's like, you know, it starts with an exit planner. There's people actually out there that's what they specialize in exit planning, but you know what? They don't do everything. They bring in, they're basically like the general contractor. They bring in all the specialists to work together, because you might have an accountant and an attorney and a banker and all of these people that you work with one-on-one, but they're not talking to each other. And the communications is the number one thing that's the killer, because unless everybody's talking to each other and working towards this one goal, it just never gets done, right? So that's mistake that a lot of people make. So you've got, of course, your business attorney and your CPA. Those are two big ones. An estate attorney, a financial advisor. Then you're looking at like a business appraiser, you know, somebody that, and then a consultant that can help grow your business so that it is more attractive to be purchased in the open market. So there's lots of things that people need to be concerned about. It doesn't have to be overwhelming, but you know what? You can't really just put your head in the ground and think that it's going to happen without you doing anything. Like, your business is so great. I know it's your baby and you love it, but every, you know.
So what would you say are some things that are, I guess, common pitfalls that people run into when starting this process?
You know, I think that they just think it's going to happen real quick. And it takes a business usually 3 to 5 years to actually get sellable ready. And that's working on it for 3 to 5 years to make it sellable ready. Because most of the people don't have their, you know, they don't have things in place. You have to have so much documentation, and you have to have all of the things you have to have, so somebody can step in and actually think that they can actually take this business and keep it profitable. They're going to put the money in. I know. I always feel so bad when somebody buys like a restaurant and you see like 2 months later, the thing's closed down and you're like, dang, they weren't very smart. Right. Yeah. They bought a sinking ship. But they probably just liked, you know, the location of it, or they thought they could make a go of it, but they really didn't have all of the things that needed to be in place for it actually to survive.
And what would you say are those things they need to survive?
They have to take, well, it's a process. And I mean, it's just like anything else. So it's like, I can kind of look at it more. The business is a growing, living, breathing thing, right? Yeah. As is a person, right? So a person has to do the same thing for their family that a business has to do. So the business's family would be, you know, the employees and the customers and so forth. And the fact that it creates an income stream, right? That's all that. But when you're talking about the person running the business, they also have the business to take care of, but they have their own personal stuff. So it's the same process, right? So if you're an individual and you haven't done a will, a trust, you haven't taken care of all of your healthcare directives, made sure that people know where all your business lies, what needs to be handled, where your insurance policies are, what you have, right? And you die, they're in a world of hurt to try to figure it all out because you didn't have anything organized or ready to go. So that's been my real focus is a company called Got It Together. Couldn't think of a better name. So that people can actually have this stuff together. And then the most important thing is the conversations. And they're hard, right? You're sitting there saying, you know what? Hey, look, if I die, this is what I want. And
yeah, it's conversations that people like, that are needed, but it's hard to have because it forces people to really put up a mirror and look at themselves and like what's happening.
It can be real emotional too. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I've run across a lot of people whose parents died young and it's like they've already outlived the age that their parents were. So they feel like they're like on this borrowed time. But the interesting thing is they really have done nothing to prepare either. You know, happens to them, their families are at a loss. It's really sad when, okay, so this is a big scenario a lot of times because it's, you know, it's been a man's world in the past. I think things are changing, but say you've got your man owns the business. The wife is at home raising the kids. She knows nothing about the business. She dies. That's her income, right? That's how she survives by his business. She has kids. Now she's either running the business, trying to, and she knows nothing about it, or she becomes a partner with the other people that don't really want her for a partner. There's just so many bad combinations. And this is all while the person is grieving. You know who I think about? I think about Kobe Bryant a lot. And I'm like, I wonder if Kobe had things all figured out. Because, I mean, for poor Vanessa, you know, I mean, I live, I don't know where you live, but I live in Orange County. So not that I'm neighbors with Kobe or anything, but it's 10 minutes from here. In fact, one of my friend's daughters was on the team that Kobe was coaching on soccer at one point. So it's kind of cool. But anyway, I just think about that because he was a businessman, right? And Vanessa's the wife. I wonder how involved she was, how well he had things set up and things like that. You hear about that all the time where people of that caliber, like Prince, you know, just didn't have stuff together.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I mean, because I think the biggest thing is people just don't know about it, right? It's not something we generally think about. First, it's not something we want to think about, but then it's not something that we know that is possible it's something we can get in place ahead of time, right? It's not a thought that people, I think, generally have. So it needs to be brought to the surface as saying like, hey, if you haven't done this, you're already setting yourself up for failure, not necessarily from just for you, but for everyone that's impacted or this touches, really.
That's right. And it's like, don't kill the messenger, perfect name, right? It's like, that's the thing. You got to have advisors that make this a priority for you. Because I know as a business owner, you're really busy with your business. It takes on a life of its own and it just occupies your space, right? But, you know, it's like the car analogy again. It's like, you know, if you ignore every gas station as you drive by, at some point, you're just going to run out of gas and be stranded. If you ignore this part of your business, you're killing it. You're killing it by not paying attention and feeding that part of it because it's going to happen. None of us are here forever. That's for sure. But see, a lot of people want their business to be their retirement. And so they plan on it. They plan on having it be like a succession plan. Those people are a little bit more on top of it because they really know that they're growing it for a reason and they're going to turn it and then they're going to move on. You know, they take a little bit more care, but everybody with a business of substance needs to reach out. So the thing that, then I've been able to do is that I've connected with a advisor and his name is Bill Black and he's called the Exit Coach. And that's all he does. He talks to people about this succession planning and he has a radio show and all that, but he's offering a free assessment of your business. And so we've partnered up and so I'm going to offer that as a freebie where they can text the word exit plan directly to my number, and then they will be sent to his thing, and they will be able to fill out and find out where their business is, how ready they are. I mean, I have a small insurance agency that I ran with my financial planning business, and so I did the numbers on that, and I, you know, failed miserably. I'm at 32%, which is more than I thought I would be as far as readiness, you know, on the scale. Yeah. But when I look at things individually, it's like my urgency index is like 82%, you know. So if something happened to me, it's true. Like, who's going to know how to even get a hold of my clients? It's the whole thing's just going to fall apart. So.
Oh, that's crazy. I can't even imagine the things that, I mean, like a story you started with the account in the middle of tax season, like we don't know when it could happen and something like that. And when you need to, like if he had something in place, they would have been fine. They would have may have been a little stumble through that season, but everyone would have been taken care of. And then at that point, it could have been turned over to like, let's find someone to either come in or let's look at selling this off. And it gets everyone through it. So the clients now are taken care of. Exactly. And as they move on, like whether they stay on or not, that's, I think would be up to the person that takes over, right? That's how well they connect with them and whatnot. But I mean, that's one of the things, if that was taken care of, sure, it would have been a little rocky going through it, because it's always like this urgency that pops up. But at the same time, you have a plan now to help you, not just your clients, but your family too. And you're able to move past it and allow, like you mentioned, if the wife, like let's say if the wife was there and she didn't know anything about it, and now she's thrown into like, well, I have to figure this business out because that's our only income. That, like, it doesn't allow her, it allows her to grieve. It allows her to kind of step away and let it be taken over and whatnot. So that's right. Super right. Important.
Yeah. So when you have other people working with you that, you know, could take it on, they do like this key man insurance, which will pay off the wife so that you don't have to have her as a partner, like buys her out. I mean, there's strategies, and yeah, it's just a matter of figuring out which strategy is going to work best for your situation. Because all these professionals, you know, like you've got like the accountants and the attorneys and the doctors and all this kind of stuff, what they tend to do is they tend to bring in the underlings, right, that they're training. And so then eventually the customers, the clients get to meet those people over the years and they see them. And so it's not a shock. They realize that they kind of know the culture of the business and they've been there. They've been trained, like they're, you know, what is it called when you're in a show and you've got your understudies? You know, they're in an emergency, they step in and they take over, they do the part, they play the part. So, yeah, but you know, there's a whole nother thing. So you're an employer, you have employees, they also could get sick or have an accident or pass away. So it's a big issue, right? Like that puts a big hole in your business, especially if they're a key man, that they're really instrumental in your business. So that's one aspect of it, to make sure that you have things in place so that you could replace that person. And a lot of times that's done with insurance as well. Like they have these key man insurance things for that. But the thing is like people also aren't prepared. So that same employee hasn't prepared their family. So now their family is coming to the employer for help and advice and direction. And the employer, well, number one, isn't legally allowed to disclose information. It just becomes this huge loop of like, nobody's willing to help because their hands are tied. And it's all because the person, whether you're the employer, the employee, whatever, didn't take any effort, didn't put any time into securing and making sure that all of your ducks are in a row. So should something happen, that things are going to be smooth as can be. They're not ever going to be like great, but at least smooth as can be. So my one big thing that I try to get people to do is those healthcare directives. I mean, now with COVID, you know, before with the mass shootings, it was like, you know what? anything can happen to anybody at any time. You don't have to be old. You don't have to have health issues. You don't have to have anything except for just kind of be in the wrong place at the wrong time and your number's called up. So just to have this healthcare directive in place is huge, because what it does is it gives authority to somebody else to speak on your behalf. Should you show up in a coma or in a bad accident, or you're on a ventilator, whatever, like what your wishes would be. So you take the time to actually prepare that. And so that's another freebie too that I have. This is what it's called. It's a advanced digital directive. So it's an advanced directive, but it's digital. So you do it online. It gets loaded up to the cloud, which is all a free service. If you're ever taken into emergency, whatever, the hospitals are linked in and they can look you up by your name and date of birth or by your social security number, whatever they have. They can see if you have this directive thing on file in the cloud, which is super helpful, because now they know, should they keep you on artificial, everything. Yeah, or do you want to just let it go, Yeah. And then it really helps, because now they're not fighting. The family isn't fighting each other on the decision. It's a hard decision to make.
Oh yeah, that's tough, because you have, I've never been in this position, but I know, I'm sure, like, I can't even imagine, but I'm sure it could definitely be tough if you have like opposing views. One is like, well, let's end their suffering. And the other one is like, well, I don't want to lose them. And, and it's kind of like, now you have this back and forth. And meanwhile, the person is suffering, like, regardless. So it's like,
well, they're not suffering because they're not cognizant, but they're definitely causing a lot of expense. And especially if there's no hope, Like, it's like this person doesn't have any brain activity, or they don't have this or that. They're going to be a vegetable. I don't know. There was that Schiavo. Do you know that Terry Schiavo case was in Florida? Yeah. It was a long time ago, but it went on for something like 15 years. It went all the way like to the Supreme Court, the husband versus the family. The husband wanted to let her go because that's what she would have wanted. They had a discussion. The family said, there's hope. We don't want to let her go. So it went on up to the Supreme Court till they finally pulled the plug, like something like 15 years later. Crazy. It's a big landmark case. So they use that as an example a lot. And then of course there's other ones, of course, that come behind that, because people just don't learn. I mean, when you go in the doctor's office, they ask you, do you have a healthcare directive? And you say yes or no, and they just take you on your word. They don't say, well, let's just fill one out to make sure we have one on file. They don't push. Nobody pushes, right? And most people are, I don't want to say they're liars, but they don't want to be bothered. Like, they're like, yeah, I have one at home somewhere. It's fine. I'm good. I don't need one.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's that's interesting. So just talking about, like, from a business perspective, just to kind of get back to that, I mean, you mentioned earlier there was like four areas that are really necessary to focus on to make sure you're ready for exiting.
Yep.
Can you kind of go over those again?
So that was your the finance aspect. Let me just read this to you because I don't have it memorized, but your current state of preparedness in understanding business value and tax issues. So that's all like regarding the finance aspect of it. The planning is your progress in preparing successors, emergency plans, and post-ownership vision. So that's like the planning part of it.
Okay.
Revenue and profit, a look at how your business trends will appear to potential buyers and lenders. Like, how is this look attractive enough for buyers and lenders to want to, take a chance on your business? And that's the revenue profit aspect of it. And then operations is the preparedness of your employees, systems, and processes for new leadership. Like, is it transferable? Sometimes your business is you and your vision and your creativity and, who you are.
Yeah.
I see that a lot with like coaches and stuff like that. And I'm like, how would you ever really transfer a coaching business if it's just you doing the coaching?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And that's interesting as you say that, because I think that goes into really pulling out, because what I feel when it comes to something like that, like a coach, who, at least in my experience, who has like their way of doing things, they have a framework that they follow. And eventually they can get to a point where they can like enroll people to teach that same framework to others and help them and get the same result. It's just that they haven't taken the time. And it's interesting that you say this with planning and exiting the business. Oftentimes they've, from my experience, they run into a point of like growth that they stop because they haven't taken that time to extract that from them and automate a lot of those processes and framework, like essentially their IP, so that they can scale faster, because they're so focused on like, well, I'm delivering it, I'm doing this. I'm like, yes, you can still be the face of everything, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do all of it yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's very similar to what you're getting at with like, if it falls under that, like how do you, like for me, like we have a very specific framework that we follow that, and actually like a shameless plug again, like I've written it all down in the book here. Mm-hmm. And it's because that's how I go about generating these leads for not just ourselves, but for our clients and how we help them scale that way. But before I did that, no one else could do it except for me. And it's right. Because I did that, that now I can eventually get to a point where I can bring in employees and team members that handle it for me, where I just do a lot of the mastermind part with, and do a lot of the consulting with my clients. And then my team takes care of the actual implementation now. Before, it used to be me doing all of it. Right. And you know, like we can't do that. And right. I think that's where you're getting at. Like that's that yeah. last piece, right? If you yeah. have that, those frameworks and systems and processes right. in place, you're
and
able
then it,
to.
Then it feels like a real, then it's a real living human. It's a real, yeah. not that it's human, but I mean, it's a real living, breathing thing, because you can step away and it doesn't fall apart.
If you can yeah, exactly. step away, like we're able to take, like, I mean, technically, I guess we can take a month long vacation. I don't know if we ever would. Yeah. But we usually, if we do, we go for like 10 days to 2 weeks-ish. And we're just kind of there. Like I do check in with the team. I have team meetings and like we have internal meetings and stuff like that, that I still have to be a part of.
Right.
But that's like maybe over the course of 2 weeks, that's like maybe 4 hours of yeah. work that I'm actually doing right. for it, you know? So it's not.
What is that?
Not,
the 4 hour work week?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There you go.
Hey, a good idea for a book.
The 4 hour, 2 week work, or like 2 work week.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah. That's,
If you think of somebody like Tony Robbins, so Tony Robbins, you know, has a huge empire. He's got mm-hmm. books and tapes and courses and this. He might be worth more dead than alive, like a lot of these people that are very at that caliber. But if it's somebody like a lower end where it really is just you, and you're not even to the point where you are, I mean, you're actually at a level above most, right? Because you've been able to train other people to do your and yeah. put your framework out in a book. If you're just it is you, and you want it, you're concerned about your family, and you know it's really not a sellable business, because if you're gone, the business is gone. That's where life insurance is huge. You need to be doing some very large planning. They have these things now called IULs. They're insurance policies, but you can overfund them, all this money in them. You can take the money out as a loan. You don't pay taxes. And so it's a way that people are funding their retirement using life insurance as a wrapper, but it's a super way to actually kind of retire your business if you should pass away, or even if you just can't sell your business because your business is you. You need to be putting some of the money away while you go. You're laughing, but it's like, it's the thing. It is the thing.
No, I laugh, I smile, because we have it in place.
Round of applause.
As soon as you mentioned that, I was like, I know what you're talking about, because like, I don't know the details of it. That's uh-huh. like our CMO takes care of that.
Yeah.
Very good at it. But yeah, she implemented it, and I would say only recently too. So it's not like,
okay, you don't have millions in there yet.
Yeah. But this is like this year this was implemented, and yeah. It's interesting to think about. So we're like testing a couple of things, you know, with our normal IRAs and our like normal 401. I don't fully understand that to begin with. So like if I say something wrong,
right.
Then that's why, because I don't fully know. But I put someone in place to know that. So that's, you know, that's as you grow, that's what you do.
You're a really smart guy.
Yeah. So then that is essentially what, from what I understand, like she's testing both. We're dual funding, right? So it's like funding one and the other. From an outside perspective, it may not look to be the smartest because you're like, well, you're kind of splitting it. I'm like, well, we're looking to see in 5 years what that looks like, what we got from either. And then from there, we're going to double down on that one that's doing the best, and then we're going to keep going with it. That was essentially the plan, right? So it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that is something that we've looked at, and it is very cool the way it can work. But again, I would never try to figure that out myself. I think it's a very important, and I think most people understand this, as you start to grow, for example, you start to grow into six figures and then to mid six figures and seven, from like usually between six and mid six, what I found was you start to focus on the things that don't necessarily bring you the revenue like it used to, because you have to build the team. You have to have the systems and processes in place. You're starting to build that there,
right?
To be a little bit more automated. And, you know, working and investing with people like yourself to help speed that process up is what helps them to be even more profitable. And I think that's what a lot of people, they're like, oh, it's an expense. I don't want to do it because I have to pay. Like you're not paying anything. You're investing in speeding up the learning curve here. Someone who's done it for others consistently, invest in them to do it for you so that you don't have to do it. You don't know what you don't know.
That's right. That's the scariest thing. And it's just like so overused too now. It's like, you don't know what you don't know, but it's like, I run across people's like, well, I didn't know. It's like, how could you have not known like XYZ or something like that? And it's like, no one ever told me. And it's like, I don't really believe that no one ever told them. I just believe they weren't open to the idea when it came past them, because most people that I found are anti everything, you know. I don't need that. I don't need that. They just say no automatically. It's kind of like, it's like you have to keep coming at them from different angles. And it's like, you know, which door do you want to come through? I'm going to sell you the same thing, but which door are you going to listen?
It's funny you say that. Like in marketing, I like to call that like the choose your own adventure, because it's true. It's one person might not be open to this way of saying it, but this person says it in a different way. But on the back end, it's the same thing. It's just who resonates with you the most.
Well, that's what I love about all of those different processes, like bank and disc and all these things. It's like, you know, it's such a game, right? You have to play to that person's personality so that they're going to work with you. And so you have to be this chameleon on this side of it, like to appeal to everybody that you are in, right? And you're not going to appeal to everybody. You're just not. But you try your best if you have these types of training, right? To be able to do that.
I have a difference in opinion there in the sense of like, you have usually with those four, like let's use DISC for example, in the four personalities, I know I appeal to two and I turn two off like immediately, right? Because I don't come off as the whole professional. Like, so I get a lot of people like that. They're like, I've been criticized before, for example, speaking and going to stages. I'm very casual. I don't posture in the sense of like saying I don't pretend someone who I'm not. Sure, I have like a sports jacket that I wear when I go speak on stage, but I'm still in a very casual clothing, right? I'm wearing jeans and like shoes and a shirt and the sport coat. I turn a lot of people off by that appearance because that's okay. Because I'm not going to work well with them, because they're going to want very rigid type of interaction where that's not who I am. And, you know, like you said, it's important to understand all of those personalities. Right. And also we talk about it all the time. Like it's important to understand who you best work with and who you can best serve, because I can serve these people. Great. I'm not going to like serving them though.
Yeah. Well, that all goes back to that.
That's my business. Like choosing, like, I don't want to work with them, you know? So
it's a mutual arrangement. But yeah, that whole avatar thing, it's like, you know what? You just have your people, right? Your people will follow you and you're going to serve them well. And it's like, there's enough for everybody, right? And I like it.
Yeah.
When you find your people.
Awesome. So you mentioned earlier that to get that free assessment to figure out if our business is exit ready.
Okay.
We were texting something. So do you mind sharing that with us so we can kind of.
Right. So you're going to have to listen really careful because unfortunately it's a long number, but I want you to text the word exit plan. One word. Exit plan. You're going to text that to the number 714-709-2027. So 714, that's my area code. I'm in Orange County, California. 709, July 9th of 2020. A good day. When I got that number, I'm like, I'm going to remember that. And that's how I remember it. July 9th of 2027. I don't know if I said that right. 709-2027. The word exit plan for the assessment. And then if you type the word medical, just the word medical to that same number, you can get that healthcare directive. You'd be transferred over to that website.
Awesome. Okay. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for providing that information. That was a lot of good insight and a lot of things that I feel like people needed to hear.
Yeah.
Would you like to leave us with any final words?
I just hope you guys take it seriously. Things are changing. I mean, the world is, right? The world is just crazy right now. It's always been crazy if you look at history, but for us living in it, I think this is the craziest. I mean, I'm 58. I feel like it's been real calm up to now. That's what I feel like, even though I lived through the 70s and the gas lines and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels weird. But just, you know, just be careful and just do the right thing. Just do the right thing. And then that little voice in the back of your head that says, I really should do that, will go away. And then you'll have room for other things that are more fun. So that's all.
Awesome.
So I appreciate you giving me the chance to tell that my story.
Of course, Stacey. No problem. I appreciate it. It was very good content, I feel. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And again, text exit plan to
709-2027. Got it. And then the other one is medical.
Medical to 714-709-2027 to get the healthcare directive.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Until next time, I'm Victor with BentoBot. Now, before I forget, if you're serious about generating never-ending leads, so at least figure out what that first piece for the profit and revenue to bring in consistent, predictable leads, qualified leads to your business, then head on over to ventobots.com/book to get your free copy of the complete automation strategy. Again, the four phases we take our private clients through to generate never-ending leads. And until next time, I'm Victor with BentoBot, and I will see you on another episode. Bye.